I call this evolution's impact on abortion the science of death. It's the science of death. It's science falsely so-called, obviously. But it's of death. That's what it's about. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd be with us now. Help us, Lord, as we wade into these waters, Lord, of disturbing waters, Lord, of evolution and abortion and just the wickedness, Lord. But people need to know the truth. They need to understand the real history here. They need to see this is nothing but an attack from the devil. It's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. And Lord, I just pray that you'd break these chains that bind people, Lord, that you'd cast these cords asunder, Lord, that you would grant people repentance unto life and that they would come to know Christ, the Christ of the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. We'll start there. I mean, obviously, we could read the whole chapter here, but there's so much. We'll read some other things too as well. But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The Bible says God gave them up who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Isn't that what it's about? Isn't that what it's all about? Worshiping the creature? Isn't that, I mean, that's what Satan got everyone to do. That's what his temptations were to do, is to focus on the creature and not the Creator. So what do we have today? We have the creation, the creatures being lifted up as gods, and the God of the Bible being denied. And that's the first step into anything, the downfall of a society, is the denial of the God of the Bible. That is the first step. And I call this, really, this is probably going to be a new series. The other one is the satanic roots of evolution. This will be the satanic fruit of evolution. Really. And we're going to talk about what did evolution produce. That's really what you thought. What did it produce? Death. Death. That's what evolution produces, is death. That's all that it can produce, is death.
Amen.
That's it. That's right. Proverbs 24, verse number 11 says this, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" So why did you bring that verse into those verses into it? Simple. Because people might ask, well, why do you need to preach on this? Why do we need to talk about abortion? Why do we talk about evolution abortion? Why? Because we need to deliver them that are drawn unto death. That's why. Somebody's got to warn them. Somebody's got to tell them about it. Somebody's got to blast it out there. And it'll be someone like me that's not sophisticated, rough, but straightforward enough just to tell you exactly what the movement is all about, not worrying about my position in society, or not worrying about whether the doctors of creationism and all these other people that have doctorates out there will accept what I say and like the way I say it. I could care less if they like the way it's said.
Amen.
To be honest with you, they've been doing enough compromising for the longest time.
Right.
When they decided they were going to throw the doctor of geocentricity in the trash. Hey, that's the Bible you're throwing away. Why? Because you're embarrassed at what the lost world says? Hey, can I help you with something? The lost world hates God's book. They'll always hate God's book. They're not going to change, no matter how nicey-nicey you try to play with them, no matter how educational you try to speak to them, no matter how you try to philosophize them, they don't care. They're God haters. The only thing that'll get through to them is the Spirit of the Lord. That's it. And the preaching of God's Word. That's all that's going to get. Your finesse and all these other things, your intellectualism is not going to get through to them. You know what they're going to respond to? The straightforward preaching of God's holy book and the slaying by the law of God.
Amen.
That's what they're going to respond to. They'll either be cut or they'll be pricked.
Yep.
By the way, when you take a sword and you slay something, when you cut it and you prick it, that's, I mean, you're using a weapon. You're using it offensively. That's what you're doing. So to pretend like God's law doesn't slay people is really ridiculous when you consider the whole of the Bible. But anyway, what do I know? I don't have all those degrees. All right. In weeks past, we've looked at the satanic roots of evolution. We looked at the men that pushed the science of death. And now we look at the satanic fruit of evolution. We looked at the fact that these men were all rooted in either spiritism, Satanism, drugs, fornication. They were God haters. Everybody tries to make it so, well, the theory of evolution, the people that pushed Darwinian evolution, they didn't really hate God. They just found out the truth and they just wanted to warn people about the truth. They just wanted to tell people that they're a bunch of God haters. That's all they were, is a bunch of God haters. The Bible says in the end times they'd be haters of God. Right? The Bible foretold that in these end times they would be full of murder. Yeah, abortion is murder. There would be no Roe versus Wade without Darwinian evolution. There would be no Roe versus Wade without it. The same arguments that were made were evolutionary arguments that were made. But I'll tell you, where they lost the battle, Christians did. They stopped with the authority of the Scriptures. They didn't understand them. That's where they lost. That's why they lost that battle, by the way. All right, I'm going to read you a few things here, then we'll get back into some more scriptures here. Richard Weikart had the following to say to those who are skeptical about the role that Darwinianism has played in the creation of the modern culture of death. First, he says this, first, before the rise of Darwinism, there was no debate on these issues, as there was almost universal agreement in Europe that human life is sacred and that all innocent human lives should be protected. Second, the earliest advocates of involuntary euthanasia, infanticide, and abortion in Germany were devoted to Darwinian worldview. Haeckel, the most famous Darwinist in Germany, promoted these ideas in some of his best-selling books, so these ideas reached a wide audience, especially among those receptive to Darwinianism. Finally, Haeckel, the other Darwinist, and eugenicists grounded their views on death and killing on their naturalistic interpretation of Darwinism. That's what they did. They just listen, that's the logical end to Darwinism. Survival of the fittest. Right? Listen, it takes any care for human life out of the picture. They don't care, but listen, these elitists, these wicked Luciferian satanic people that run the science departments, the scientists, the government officials, all of them, they don't care about life. Yeah.
You gotta be real careful.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to get into a habit of thinking like the eugenicists.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, we do have to be careful. That's a good point. Yep. Darwin's faulty science paved the way for it. Darwin's faulty science paved the way for what took place for evolution. He laid the groundwork for it. Haeckel gave impetus to the abortion movement. I know this is a little bit of a review, but just bear with me here. We'll get into a lot of the new stuff here. To the abortion movement by teaching that the embryo is still in the evolutionary stage and not fully human. Even the newborn child, according to Haeckel, not only possesses no consciousness and no reason, but it is also dumb and only gradually develops the activity of the senses and of the mind. Haeckel believed that the newborn infant has no soul, and therefore the destruction of abnormal newborn infants cannot rationally be classed as murder. Well, it's evolving, so it's not really a human. But you ask these jokers, well, at what time does it become human? Well, we don't know, so we're just all animals so we can kill everything. That's their response. That's really what they believe. They do not value any human life at all. For the mentally handicapped, he recommended a small dose of morphine or cyanide to free this pitiable creature from itself, as well as from being a burden on its caretakers. Just think about that for a second. These are the fathers of evolution. Darwinian evolution. These are the fathers of it. This is what paved the way. This is why 65 million babies or whatever it is, I'm not sure about the number, but it's probably more than what we realize, by the way. More than we're being told. 60 million babies have been slaughtered in this country, not to mention what we pay for all over the world. Did you know that when Obama took office, he lifted any executive orders off that stopped the payment of abortions around the world as birth control, and he went ahead and paid for them, and he signed an executive order saying that we will pay for all abortions all over the world, whatever, in any of these countries. So it's not enough that you murder 60 million here in this country. You've got to go and you've got to murder innocent life all over the world. See how that works? Not only did Haeckel justify infanticide abortion, as for the association between Darwinism and this culture, Richard Weikart observes, even though not all Darwinists and eugenicists went along with Haeckel's program of rational extermination of the disabled, what's rational about extermination of life? Think about that. That's the mindset of these people, because life is expendable to them. Why do you think it's so easy for them to poison you? Why do you think it's so easy for them to poison your water and poison your food and poison everything? Why is it so easy for them to do it? Because they don't believe that your life matters at all. Even though not all Darwinists and eugenicists went along with Haeckel's program of rational extermination of the disabled, it is striking that the vast majority of those who did press for abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia in the late 19th and early 20th centuries were fervent proponents of a naturalistic Darwinian worldview. That's just a coincidence, right? It's just a coincidence that people held to Darwinian evolution and decided that it was a good idea to start murdering babies. Yeah, no accident, friend. Not at all. Listen to this. In 1990, the famous astronomer Carl Sagan and his wife, Ann Druyan, argued that abortion is ethical on the grounds that the fetus is not fully human until the sixth month. Oh, so where did you magically pull this number out? Could I ask you something? Where did you magically pull this number out that all of a sudden a baby is growing inside of a womb, and all of a sudden, well, 6 months, and boom, it becomes a human. How'd you figure that out? I mean, can I see your science on that? I'd like to see that. How did you come up with that? Taking Haeckel's recapitulation theory as fact, they claim that the embryo begins as a kind of parasite. So, ladies, what they believe is that the baby inside of you is nothing more than a parasite.
And everybody knows that a parasite.
And changes into something like a fish with gill arches, and then becomes reptilian. What is it, David Icke? It's the David Icke theory, or what? Yeah, it was proven to be a lie. Even they admit it's a lie. That's why, you know, you got to be careful about trusting scientists and these doctors that come out with all these new theories. Right? That's right. Because they always come out with these new theories. Like, eggs are bad for you, and juice is bad for you, and then, like, all this other stuff is bad for you. Here, take all this synthetic fake stuff. Take all this stuff that we made in a lab, and take that. It'll be better. It'll help you live longer. Take this chemical. Take this pill. Take these chemicals. It'll be better for you. It'll help you live longer.
Yeah.
And then 30 years later, we find out, well, injecting that into people causes cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't know that at all. You knew it, you bunch of wicked satanic devils. You absolutely knew what you're doing, and you know what you're doing with vaccines, and you know what you're doing with everything else. You know exactly what you're doing. It's murder in their hearts, that's why. Listen, you got to stop trusting these people. Who cares if that guy has a white coat on and goes in and says, okay, you need to take this pill. Why do I need to take this pill? What's this pill do to me? And then they give you a long sheet of the side effects of it. Yeah, and then we'll give you another pill to help for the side effects that you're having with that pill. When is it that we stopped trusting the God of the Bible and started trusting doctors more than that? You know, half the problems, and I'm not planning on really talking about it, but half the problems you have with your health is a matter of temperance. It really is a lot of it. It's a matter of temperance. We have overindulged in something in our lives that has caused us to have some reaction in our bodies. That's usually what a lot of it is. Now, some of it can be different, but a lot of it is what we ingest and take in. It affects us. But instead, we believe a doctor that says, will you just go ahead and keep ingesting all that rat poison you want to and take this pill and it'll offset the rat poison. Yeah. No, nothing offsets the rat poison. You're going to die. I mean, does that make sense? I don't know. I've just been thinking about this a lot. As I've dropped almost 60 pounds, I've thought about it a lot that, you know what? This happens when I do things to my body. My body reacts this way when I do things like this. And I didn't need a pill for somebody to tell me that or a degree as a doctor to understand that.
Yep, right.
It's just the doctors, they're not honest anymore. And they don't want to look at, they're based off evolution. And they don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to look at you and say, why don't you stop doing that and you'll be better.
They make money prescribing.
Because they make money to keep you going.
Americans won't do that.
I know they won't. Americans are lazy. We're lazy. Anyway, all right, enough preaching on America. Let me keep going now. I made a bunch of people mad already. Hey, I'm trying to help you. Honestly, I am. What's that? I'll let Nate make you mad or some other time, but I'm going to stop now. Anyway, Russ can make you mad about something. I'm going to keep going. Anyway, the point is just think before you trust some guy in a white suit that comes up that hates your God, that doesn't even believe in the God of the Bible, that bases everything that he does off of evolution and tells you if I stick this in your arm, you're going to be better. Because your kid won't get like stuff. If we stick this in your arm, your kids won't get stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go on record and say, I don't believe you, you're a liar.
You're right.
Man. I'm fine with that, and I don't care who doesn't like that. Now, if a bunch of guys in white coats take me away someday, start trying to stick me in the arm. I expect you guys to take the A-team van and bust me out, okay?
Right?
Yeah, oh, I know. He's got one for everything. All waiting in the balance is right there, right? They're just waiting for us. Anyway, so what do they think here? The theory is the fact they claim that the embryo begins as a kind of parasite and changes into something like a fish with gill arches, and then becomes reptilian, and really, mammalian. Okay. By the end of the second month, the fetus is still not quite human. What did it start out being then? When two humans procreate, what do they have? They don't have parasites, they have humans! Babies come out! Later in his book, Billions and Billions, Sagan denied that he was referring to Haeckel's theory. But his statement was disingenuous. Though Sagan didn't use the term that Haeckel used, he was definitely using the concept of recapitulation, that the human embryo goes through apparent stages of evolutionary development in the womb. Listen, I want to put some perspective for you. Do you realize it's not even legal for you to kill a dog, how a baby is murdered in America today?
Yeah, or an eagle.
Do you realize if you walked up to a dog and took a needle and injected into them, or if you sucked its brains out, that you would go to prison for that? Yeah. They would get you in court and they would bust you hard for that. Do you realize that?
Or an eagle egg.
Yeah, or an eagle egg. Yeah. An eagle is an endangered species. No, a human baby in America is an endangered species today. That should be on a protective list. Right? That should be. You got a stupid eagle on a protection list, and you don't have babies on a protection list. And you're trying to tell me you have some moral authority in this nation? Give me a break. You're a bunch of sick Satan worshipers. Bunch of Luciferian devils.
Is there a falcon and an eagle egg there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a turtle.
Yeah, what's in there? What's in that eagle's egg?
Potential.
Not an eagle.
Potential eagle.
Potential eagle. I can kill it. Potential life. It's an omelet. Aaron said it's a potential omelet. I wonder what an eagle egg tastes like. I'm not going to do it. I was just asking.
Let
the record show that.
It tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken, except he told me that coon does not taste like chicken. All right. But realize this. It's illegal to kill a dog, how a baby is murdered. Sink that into your mind. If you take a needle full of poison and stuck it in a canine police dog or got caught fighting with dogs like Michael Vick did, you would go to prison.
Yep.
But women can stand in line by the thousands in this country and murder their babies.
Yeah, you're just.
But Michael Vick goes to jail for dogs?
Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, I'm no fan of Michael Vick, and I'm no fan of dog fighting. But you think about that for 1 second. All these people are up in arms and crying, you poor doggy woggies, and everything else like that. And they're crying. I'm like, where's your tear for all the aborted babies that are murdered?
Amen. God, preach it.
You people are all up in arms over dog fighting. While babies are being butchered by the millions in this country. Yeah, 4,400 a day
in this country alone.
Not to mention what we pay for everywhere else.
Yep.
Love to see those numbers. Maybe we should do some investigating on those numbers and find out if we can find something out on them.
Abortions, a billion worldwide.
A billion worldwide a year?
Yep.
Oh.
No. Not a year, right?
Yeah.
Sink that into your mind, though. Think about that. If you abort a baby and wear a white robe, you get a paycheck.
Yeah.
You might even get it congratulated by the president.
Right.
He might even say, God bless Planned Parenthood.
Might have the nicest building in
the God of this world does bless Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
I agree that the God of the world, and I agree that the God of the world is Barack Obama's God.
Amen.
Because they are, listen, this is free. This is not going to cost you anything, but I want you to understand something. All of them at the top have the same God.
Right.
It's Lucifer.
Amen.
I don't care if they call themselves a Muslim. I don't care if they call themselves a Catholic. I don't care if they call themselves a Baptist. I don't care if they call themselves whatever they call themselves out there. Whatever they call themselves, atheist, agnostic, whatever, their God is Lucifer. Because they do the works of their father. They don't get the labels are for the minions. The labels are for the minions, okay? They're for all of you to fight inwardly about them Muslims. We got to kill them Muslims. Well, them Muslims don't want to kill you. The Muslims that want to kill you, they're not the ones you think they are. Those Muslims that want to kill you, most of them are on the high level end of things. And they're being paid. We invented ISIS. We invented all these things. And they're all at the top, they're all Luciferian. All of them. Look at what lodge they go to. Look at what Masonic lodge these top Muslims go to. Look where they go to. Look where their leaders, they all hang out, wear robes together, and molest children. That's what they do, okay? Life means nothing to them. Stop falling for that. They're all Luciferian at the top. That's how it works. But the Muslims are going to take over. No, white elitists have been running this world for a long time, okay? The Luciferians are taking over.
Right.
That's who's taking over. They don't care about your labels. They use those labels so you can fight each other.
Yep.
That's all that's for. Because they don't want you to know that if you really understood who the true enemy was, white and black people wouldn't be fighting each other over labels. They'd be standing with the Lord Jesus Christ and fighting Antichrist.
Right.
But see, Satan has 1,000 masks. Right? Right? The face of, what, 1,000 heroes?
A hero
with 1,000 faces? Go listen to that Star Wars New World Order show we just did. That's what all those movies are based off of, the hero with 1,000 faces. Who is that? The Antichrist.
Right.
He's got 1,000 faces, friend. Just pick one.
Yep.
There he is. What stands alone? What stands separate? The mystery of godliness.
Amen.
Jesus Christ manifests in the flesh. God in flesh.
Amen.
Dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the difference, friend. He's going to come down and crush these Luciferian devils one day.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Darwinian evolution is at the heart and soul of the legalization of abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, pornography, and much more.
Yep.
This is not surprising when we consider the following Darwinian principles. I'm going to give you some of these principles. By the way, the Bible says this, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death."
Yep.
Number one, man is an animal. That's what they believe. The product of blind chance with no higher purpose and no greater value. Number two, man is accountable only to himself. Darwin wrote in his autobiography that if one does not believe in God or an afterlife, that his rule of life is only to follow those impulses and instincts which are the strongest, of which seem to be in him the best ones. Translation, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Follow the lust of your heart. Follow your bliss. Follow your bliss, right? Mm-hmm. Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The next tenet is there is no God and no human soul, and that destroys the value of religion, he says. Destroys religion. But it also destroys the value of religion. There is no God and no human soul. That's what they mean. No God, no human soul. You're no different than the animals. That's why animals, God gave you dominion over animals, but Darwinian evolution says that you are equal with the animals. You're just a little bit more evolved, but you're the same thing. They say there's no basis of moral absolutes. Darwinian's principle is the foundation for moral relativism, the predominant philosophy of the 21st century. Yep. Look how far we've come with relativism. Man has evolved. The next tenet is man has evolved through the survival of the fittest. Darwin wrote that man arose from the war of nature, from famine and death. This argues against moral concepts such as equality of man, justice, and compassion. You throw all that out the window. Justice, compassion, mercy, all those things with Darwinian evolution. That's why you have abortion. That's why a doctor can actually... How does a man's stomach murdering that baby? I'll tell you why. Because there's devils. That's why. Because they're infused with satanic devilish. You think you could murder babies like that and shed innocent blood? You don't have devils all over you? You don't think? You think you could do that? No. Listen. Child sacrifice is all part of Luciferian worship.
Yep.
That's what it is. Oh, it's not child sacrifice. Well, what do you call it? You pulled a baby out of the womb and you killed it.
Right.
That's child sacrifice.
Right.
Sacrificing it to Mother Earth and population control.
Right.
It's not enough, though. You have to sell it and make some
extra. Yeah, and then just sell its body off to make some extra cash. Wait till you hear... It's going to be rough, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because you need to hear it. After reading this is one of the reasons why I determined that we need to be at that abortion clinic at least once a month.
Right, be angry.
That's right. And we need to blast it with the gospel. That's what I had to make sure I clarify that. Somebody might think something different about that. So yeah. He said this man is a product of his inherited properties and his environment. He has no soul and no free will. He is the foundation for modern psychology's downplaying of personal responsibility. What are they saying here? Man is not a free moral agent. That's what he's saying. That's what Darwin... Man is not a free... He's subject to his animalistic instincts. Well, look. Have you visited an average public school ever? What goes on there? Daycare centers, what goes on there? The Catholic Church, what goes on there? What do you have there? Pure animalistic evil. Why? Because they've only been indoctrinated with it. Did you think that you could take on satanic principles and not be a devil? Huh? Did you think that you could take on Satan's principles and not be a devil? No, I'm sorry. If you take on satanic principles, you're a devil. You're going to be just like one. What is that philosophy? It's eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Luke 12:19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Days of Lot, days of Noah, same way. Eating and drinking, being merry, not caring about anything that was going on around them. And what do you have? No sobriety among Americans today. Nobody can be serious about anything. You walk down the street and there's so... Man, brother, 40... I mean, I don't know how many thousands of people went into that game, but there had to be at least 25, 30,000 going to that game. We're standing out there, and what are they doing? These people standing... And they are freezing, walking into that door, and they're doing it all in the name of a hockey puck flying down a... Whatever you call it, the ice, yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't play hockey. I don't want to get hit in the head with something like that. If I was going to get in a fight, it wouldn't be with all that gear on. Plus, I wouldn't want to slip on the ice, so anyway. I cracked my head before. It doesn't feel good. Anyway. But you think about it, right? Over what, a game? 40,000 people can gather for a game. You know, you can't get 40,000 people to gather for their own liberty.
Right.
I bet you if you tried to hold a rally for the First and Second Amendment of average people in Minneapolis, half of those people wouldn't even be there. A third of those people wouldn't even be there. But Black Lives Matter, for absolute non-sobriety and nonsense,
yeah.
gets the streets shut down.
Yeah.
Airport, the Mall of America. I'll guarantee you one thing, you hold a White Lives Matter. You hold a White Lives Matter meeting, and I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to get something shut down, all
right.
You're going to get a SWAT team in there, and they're going to start shooting you. That's what's going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just being real. You can like it or lump it. I don't care. But it's just the truth.
Yeah.
If you did the same thing, what do you think would happen?
Right.
That's what would happen. Let's be real. Let's be honest about it. No, it should be all lives matter, and we should be all standing out. And you know what? Black Lives Matter, you'll never listen to this probably, but if you did listen to this, let me tell you one thing. You're a joke. You're a bunch of liars and fakes. Because if you really cared about black lives, you'd be outside of Planned Parenthood saving black lives. 60% of abortions in New York, 60% of African-American girls that have babies in New York, that have babies or that get pregnant, 60% are aborted. Don't tell me you care Black Lives Matter. Bunch of liars. And Darwin went on to say, there's no life after death. This results in a focus of present life and on the pursuit of physical health above all. It was summarized by a television commercial in the 1960s which said, if you've got your health, you've got just about everything.
Amen.
The no life after death philosophy encourages that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And then next, the embryo is not fully human until late in its development has been one of the underpinnings of the pro-abortion movement. Well, that embryo, it's not fully human. What's the big deal? On page 134 to 140 of his book, Long War Against God, Henry Morris includes quotations showing the evolutionists teach that homosexuality is an advanced level of evolutionary progress necessary for the perpetuation of the race, and that abortion is fully in accord with evolutionary theory and should properly include not only fetuses but infants as well. Eugenicists sought to control the proliferation of the inferior through birth control, sterilization, abortion, sex education, restriction of marriage, and incarceration. I'm just curious. What is predominantly the race that gets caught for drugs and everything else that gets thrown into prison?
Right.
Now, if you throw this particular race into prison, then they can't procreate as much.
Yeah.
So why do you think, when you think about the war on drugs, what was that about?
Right.
It's about this.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it's about. This.
Hip hop
culture, same thing.
Yeah.
What? To steer a generation into wickedness and evil,
right,
and to keep them from procreating in a proper way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then, of course, we have Margaret Sanger, the wicked witch of abortion herself, pushing Darwin evolution. In her 1922 book, Pivot of Civilization, Sanger thoroughly condemned charitable action. Sanger's book included an introduction by famous British novelist and eugenicist H.G. Wells, who said this, "We want fewer and better children. We cannot make the social life and the world peace we are determined to make with the ill-bred, ill-trained swarms of inferior citizens that you insist upon us." And these guys are hailed as wonderful people. They're geniuses. Yeah, they're a bunch of sex perverts, that's right. Sanger advocated mass sterilization and incarceration of the unfit. Well, she got her wish, didn't she? She wanted to control the population through birth control and sex education. She also advocated abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia, calling large families immoral. She said the most merciful thing a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously you know they're antichrist, because Psalms 127 verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Okay, stop for a second and recognize the last part of that verse. And that's why Satan doesn't want Christians having children. That's why Satan wants the godly women of this world, the Christian women, if they to be working, to be career women. That's why he wants them out of the home. That's why he doesn't want keepers at home. That's why fundamental Baptist pastors don't preach keepers at home anymore, because it's not lucrative to their billion-dollar budgets that they have to keep. But what they don't realize is that there's a next generation that comes up, and if your church members are obeying God and following, and the fruit of the womb is blessed, then guess what? You raise an army against Antichrist! Yes. An army against him! Yes. And that's what they don't want.
That's right.
That's what Margaret Sanger said. Well, we can't keep having these ill-bred people and all these other people. Why? Because if we keep having these people, then what she's really saying is then they'll rise up in arms and fight us.
Right.
They won't be hypnotized. They ain't drank the Kool-Aid.
Right.
They haven't been brainwashed by satanic principles. They have disconnected. They are not part of it. Right?
Yeah.
Right. They came out from among them.
That's right. They came out from among them. They are not the brainwashed. They are washed in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we can't have those people mounting. We can't have Christians having 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 babies apiece. Because, man, I'm going to tell you what. You have 20 families in a church and they have like 5 to 10 babies, that's a force to be reckoned with. If you teach those young men to go valiantly fight for the Lord their God and to stand outside of your Planned Parenthoods, and you teach them to go stand outside there and preach the Word of God and thunder out the truth and become people that will serve the Lord, whether it's online, creating programs or anything, whatever, on the radio, whatever, producing things, getting truth out there, printing tracts, doing all those things, starting churches. Well, man, then they'll be able to speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, we can't have that, now can we? See, these fundamentalist pastors, they really have lost it. They forgot where the real battle was. And they forgot what they were supposed to be doing. And they were supposed to be encouraging people to have children, to obey the Lord, to stay. Listen, you don't even have to encourage them to stay. You just encourage mom to stay. You just encourage dad to be the breadwinner and for mom to be the keeper at home. And guess what happens? Everything else falls into place.
Amen.
Babies come from that, okay? That's just what happens. Amen!
Right.
I'm not speaking Greek here. I'm speaking straight Bible here. That's what God said.
Right.
Amen! That's what happens. Why? They're not distracted. Right? They're not distracted. Oh, I got to have a career and I have to have this. No, you don't have to have any of that thing. You need to obey God.
Amen.
You need to raise up a godly seed. That's what you need to do.
Amen.
And that's what the devil doesn't want Christians doing today. That's why pastors don't preach against birth control. That's why pastors don't preach against all those things. That's why pastors encourage women. They don't discourage women from going into the workforce. That's why they send their young daughters off to college, because they've lost sight of the truth of what God expects them to do. You do this and this. You want to battle abortion? Keep having babies. Amen!
Come on.
Right.
You want to battle that mindset? You raise a godly seed and you keep having children for the Lord, to the glory of God. And you raise them for the glory of God. And they will be what? Exactly what God said here. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them and shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Listen, you and I we understand the impact now, okay? We understand in our generation as we go off in battle, but I want you to look around. I want you to count. There's more of them than there are of us.
Amen.
Do you understand that? There's more of them than there are of us. And I fully, by the grace of God, intend for this church to raise an army of men and women that come up, that get married, that have children, that battle the Antichrist, that fight that wicked devilish spirit out there. And it's right here. The answer is right in God's order right there. That's the answer. And they know it. And they're afraid of it. They're afraid of it. They're absolutely terrified of it. That's why they use their CPS and their other agencies. That's why they do. Because they're absolutely terrified. It's okay, though. I make it known real clear. I pray against those wicked devils. I pray against them every day. I pray imprecatory prayers against them every single day. And I believe God.
Amen.
And I'll be doing what God wants me to do as long as He wants me to do it. When He's done with me, He'll take me home. He'll retire me. She also complained this, that nature eliminates the weeds, but we turn them into parasites and allow them to reproduce. You see how they've changed the argument? I know this is a long sermon, but that's okay. You see how they've changed the argument into, listen to their cute little pro-life or pro-choice. Pro-choice. No, pro-choice is not accurate. It's like saying it's like the Patriot Act. Geniuses. Absolute demonic geniuses, aren't they? Pro-choice. It sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Sounds like it, doesn't it? It sounds a lot better than pro-murder, pro-infanticide, pro-child sacrifice, pro-killing. Sounds a lot better, doesn't it? Pro-death. So they change the argument like that. That's what they do. It is interesting to note that there is no hesitation. Now listen to this. This will make you sick. It is interesting to note that there is no hesitation to interfere with the course of nature when we desire to eliminate or prevent a superiority of rodents, insects, or other pests. But when it comes to the elimination of the immeasurably more dangerous human pest, we blindly adhere to the inconsistent dogmatic doctrine that man has a perfect right to control all nature with the exception of himself. Its position is perfectly consistent with Darwinianism. If a man is a mere evolved germ, it could not be wrong to refer to him as a pest or a weed.
Right? I can't believe that lady was published.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I still have Bible.
Well, you got to understand, though, that there's a lot of demonic people helping her. Most of the rich, the elites, they were all eugenicists. They were all murderers. They were all Luciferian. Theosophist. Where do you think they got their money from? That's right. That's right. The abortion movement was also a product of Darwinian eugenics. The biggest impact of Darwinism on the abortion debate came through the eugenics discourse, which, as we have seen, was founded on Darwinian principles. Eugenics provided important impetus for those promoting the legalization of abortion. Most of the leading abortion advocates, Stocker, Schreiber, Firth, Oldberg, and others, were avid Darwinian materialists who saw abortion not only as an opportunity to improve conditions for women, but also as a means to improve the human race and contribute to evolutionary progress. Stocker and her league for the... Now listen to this. Aren't these people evil geniuses? Listen to this. She had a league for the protection of mothers. Well, doesn't that sound sweet and nice? Well, that's nice. I mean, for the protection of mothers, that's wonderful, isn't it? Right. That's not what that was about.
Give it a good name.
Right. They just gave it a name that was palatable that you would think, oh, well, yeah, everybody wants to protect mothers. No, you don't want to protect mothers. You want to end motherhood.
That's right.
Yeah. Women who have
you wicked devils. Quit lying. You just wanted to end motherhood. That's what you wanted to do.
Right.
Except yours. You didn't want to end yours.
Right.
I'm amazed at all these people that believe in euthanasia, eugenics, and everything else. They never want to stick the bolt to their own head first.
Right.
If they'd have done that before,
yeah,
our world would have been a lot better place.
Yeah.
They didn't do that before. Although Satan would have rose up another one in their place. Though ultimately they wanted to allow abortion for non-eugenics reasons as well. Edward David, is in an essay on Darwinism and social development, argued that eugenics was the proper social response to Darwinism. And he approved of abortion as one eugenics measure among others. Lilly Braun likewise became a strong advocate of both eugenics and abortion. See, it all goes hand in hand. Evolution, abortion. In 2004, Margaret Sanger's grandson, listen to this, that old grand witch herself, her grandson, listen to this, Alexander Sanger, chair of the International Planned Parenthood Council, published Beyond Choice, Reproductive Freedom and the 21st Century. He said abortion is good, arguing that abortion on demand is biologically justified because it aids the human race in its struggle to survive. We cannot repeal the laws of natural selection. Nature does not let every life form live, every life form survive. Humanity uniquely and to its benefit can exercise some dominion over this process and maximize the chances for human life to survive and grow. We must become proud that we have taken control of our reproduction. It has been a major factor in advocating human evolution and survival. Though Planned Parenthood today disavows its racist roots, the eugenics movement has been effective in culling the black population. According to a 2011 report by the New York City Department of Health, 59.8% of African American pregnancies there in 2009 ended in abortion. It approaches genocidal levels of destruction.
More aborted than born.
Yeah, more aborted than born, that's right. The Darwinian doctrine of recapitulation, that the embryo goes through successive stages of evolution, has been used repeatedly to justify abortion. Dr. Henry Morris said this: we can justifiably charge this evolutionary nonsense of recapitulation with responsibility for the slaughter of helpless prenatal children, or at least for giving it the pseudoscientific rationale.
Yep.
See, all you have to do is write a paper on it and give it some scientific rationale, and you can pass anything.
Yep.
You can get any pill passed to give to people. You can get any life-ending scenarios passed. All you have to do is write a scientific paper, have a white coat on, have a PhD, and shake your head like this when you talk, and you can pass just about anything you want to. In 1982, Dr. James Neal used Haeckel's doctrine of recapitulation to testify against a proposed U.S. Senate human life bill, listen, that would have declared that the life of each human being begins at conception. Neal was the chairman of the Department of Genetics at the University of Michigan Medical School, a member of the National Academy of Sciences, and had just been selected as president-elect of the 6th International Congress of Human Genetics. He used his impressive credentials to foist the fantasy of Darwinian recapitulation to the debate. He said this: the early embryo appears to pass through some of the stages in the evolutionary history of our species. At about 30 days after conception, the developing embryo has a series of parallel ridges and grooves in its neck, which are interpreted as corresponding to the gill slits and gill arches of a fish. It has caudal appendage, which is quite simply labeled tail in many textbooks of human embryology. Because of these facts, it is most difficult to state as a scientist just when, in early fetal development, human personhood begins. Just as I would find it impossible to say exactly when in evolution we passed over the threshold that divides us from other living creatures. Cited by John Day, Darwin Day in America. Wait a minute, are you telling me you developed a whole theory and you don't even know? You can't even figure out when man passed the threshold of not being an animal anymore? And we're supposed to believe you that babies aren't humans?
Yep.
All I know is when that baby's living and moving inside of that mother, there's no question in that mother's life whether that's a baby or not.
Yep.
No question in that mother's life. How many mothers that have babies, how many of them do they pull and ask that question to? You know, the ones that actually have them?
Right.
The ones that actually keep them?
Yeah.
That's right. Now listen to this. Sarah Weddington, the lawyer who argued for abortion in the landmark Supreme Court Roe versus Wade, also testified against the human life bill, arguing that the fetus is a parasite. I mean,
fetus is a Latin word meaning what?
Little child. You know what's really difficult to take? It's really difficult to look at these people that say things like that, like how, like to be in the same room as them and to see and look at their eyes when they say this, and with everything in you not to want to be like, what is it, Elihud? Which guy was that took that spear? Phinehas, and he threw it through him and he stuck it straight through him. It's really hard not to have that feeling. Now we have to fight that, and we have to preach the word of God. But I'll tell you something, it's very hard when you see things like that and you hear people say that a child is nothing more than a parasite. At the same hearing, Dr. Joseph Pratt, Emeritus Professor of Surgery at the Mayo Medical School, also called the fetus a parasite, if you will. The Sagans, too, describe the fetus as a parasite. The fertilized egg destroys tissue in its path. It sucks blood from capillaries. It establishes itself as a kind of parasite on the walls of the uterus. You know what I want to ask you? Well, how'd you get here, you idiot? Is that too plain? No, that's not nice. You should be nicer to baby murders. You should be calmer. What are you getting so excited about anyway? I mean, what are you getting so excited about? Come on, just watch the football game, eat some nachos, drink some beer, and just enjoy life. Why do you have to get so excited? They're just killing babies. That's all that's happening. Go back to having your Christmas play at church. Go back to having your trip to your Sunday school activity to the wild game while we're preaching outside of it. Go back to all. Why do you have to be so sober and serious? Why can't you just go eat and drink with the damned? What's the big deal? What's wrong? Why do you got to be so? I mean, come on, lighten up, preacher. What's the big deal? Why are you getting so excited about it? They only want to murder babies. I mean, it's not your baby yet. Yeah, just go on a Christian retreat or something. I mean, come on. What's the matter with you? Let's have a ladies' extravaganza. That'll help, right? Let's continue with the gospel games, right? Hand out suckers and play the bozo show game with kids. That'll work. That really does a lot. Stop, you know, if you would just calm down a little bit, maybe more people would listen to you. Oh, I think they're listening. Even them Luciferian devils are listening. You better get saved. God's coming for you, friend.
Yep.
But see, it only gets worse from there, because Darwinism is the foundation upon which modern bioethics is built, with its belief that the human fetus has no more value than an animal. Now listen to this. Princeton biophysicist? That's a weird name. That's a weird word. Peter Singer said this. On any fair comparison of morally relevant characteristics, the calf, the pig, and the much derided chicken come out well ahead of the fetus at any stage of pregnancy. While we make the comparison with a fetus of less than 3 months, a fish or even a prawn would show more signs of consciousness. And can you believe that somebody actually sat in that room and didn't punch him? You know, there was a day in this country where they would hang people like that.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what they'd call them, too? Witches.
That's right.
For those that would promote that and would kill life, and that would be a part of actively murdering people, they would kill them. Mm. By the way, that's called practical ethics. That's ethics. Some ethics, satanic ones, but Marianne Warren, philosophy professor at San Francisco State University, listen to this, said that even a fully developed fetus is considerably less person-like than the average mature mammal. Have you ever held a baby? I mean, have you ever held a baby? What are you talking about?
Right.
You hear that right there? That's not hard to tell what that is.
Right?
Think about it. Is it real hard to tell what that is right there? What noise that baby just made? No. It's not hard to detect that's a human life, right? Bunch of lying wicked devils. She says, it's considerably less person-like than the average mature mammal, indeed the average fish. If the right to life of a fetus is to be based upon its resemblance to a person, then it cannot be said to have any more right to life than, let us say, a newborn guppy. And that's why I still maintain to you that Luciferians run this world. And they run every aspect of science. And be careful what you say to people and don't talk to some people, especially in white coats. I know, I make some of you uncomfortable by saying things like that. But I don't trust them. I don't trust them. Why should I? They don't believe in the God. They believe in the God of this world. They don't believe the God of the Bible. Why should I trust them? Yeah, especially when they ask you, do you have any weapons in your... Do you have any firearms in your house?
Lots.
Yeah, you want to see them? Which side? It is Darwinianism and its ridiculous theories that the fetus is not fully human that has given us the vile practice of using fetuses as medical guinea pigs. Now listen to this. John Day describes this in Darwin's Day in America, page 335 to 338. In the Maggie Women's Hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the 1960s, live fetuses were packed in ice while still moving and trying to breathe, then rushed to a laboratory for testing. They had to keep them alive so they could slit them open and do what they wanted to with them. Babies.
Where was that?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 1960. In the 1960s, Robert Goodlin of Stanford University submerged living fetuses in saline solution and sliced open their chests in order to directly observe the beating heart. Do you hear it? In America, wave your flag! Pledge allegiance!
Yeah, right.
Really? You think I'm going to send my kids to fight in your wars and put them in your army? No, that's not my army.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to directly observe a beating heart? Why didn't you cut your own chest open and look at yours?
That's right.
I could probably help you. You realize these are murderers, right? You realize what you're dealing with, right? In the 1970s, American medical researchers took part in a study of fetal brain metabolism in Helsinki, Finland. The fetuses were removed via C-section, and after their hearts stopped beating, their heads were cut off and attached to a pump that circulated a chemical mixture through the arteries. They used them as an experiment. Do you understand?
I thought they weren't even getting a swastika off of banner, because they don't understand.
Yeah. Dr. Peter Adam of Case Western Reserve University in Ohio, who helped lead the Finnish study, he was an American. Are you getting this? Who helped lead the Finnish study involving decapitation, argued... People need to understand that the fetus doesn't have the neurological development for consciousness or pain. He said, once society has declared the fetus dead and abrogated its rights, I don't see an ethical problem.
That's why they run away from the vacuum during the abortion, because they don't feel it.
So he's saying, what's the big deal about cutting their head off while they're alive? I mean, what's the big deal? And sticking it on a machine and running sign. Listen, all right. You've heard a lot about Hitler. You've heard a lot about the Nazi regime. Listen, Hitler only dreamed to do what we do now. We took his men and we took his science and we tripled down on it. We quadrupled down on it. And we do everything in the dark that he did in the open 10 times worse. 10 times worse. So, preacher, why do you have so much zeal? Why don't you just tone it down a little bit, preacher? Don't get so excited about things like this. I don't know why you got to talk about stuff like this. I mean, come on. Let's just have fun. Other researchers in Finland cut out the fetus's brain, lung, liver, and kidneys while the heart was still beating without anesthesia. You understand?
If you did that to an animal, they would take care of it.
There are protocols to when you kill a deer,
What
you're supposed to do to them.
Yep.
Do you know hunters are more humane? And more in conservation of life and how they deal with, or farmers, how they deal with animals and things like that when they put them down and they have to put them down and do different things, something like that, what they do. And like if you go out to a deer, you make sure that deer is not suffering. You put it out of its misery.
It's not allowed to shoot it with a 22, right?
Right, because you have to shoot it with something that's going to kill it and end its life around here. So they make sure that it's dead. And before you slit it open, you make sure it's dead. Why? Because it's what you're supposed to do. It's in you to do that.
Right.
God made you to do that.
Amen.
Not to sit and watch in suffering like that. You sick, demonic weirdos.
Amen.
Bunch of Luciferian devils. In Hungary, university researchers cut out the beating hearts of fetuses up to 15 weeks for experimentation. Just cut it out. Biologist Mary Ann Warren said this: while the fetus is 5 or 6 months, may perhaps possess some flickering of sensation or some capacity to feel pain. This is equally true and probably even more true of creatures like fish or insects, which few people would doubt the propriety of killing in order to save human lives. And that was in an article, Can the Fetus Be an Organ Farm? Biologist Michael Lockwood said this: I should have thought that from any sane point of view, it was far preferable to experiment on a near microscopic blob of unfeeling protoplasm than a feeling, caring being, albeit a different species. All of this is based off of modern medicine, evolution, Darwinian evolution. Peter Singer said this: all we are doing is catching up with Darwin. He said it, not me. All we are doing is catching up with Darwin. He showed in the 19th century that we are simply animals. Humans had imagined we were a separate part of creation, that there was some magical line between us and them. Darwin's theory undermined the foundations of that entire Western way of thinking about the place of our species in the universe. They admit it. Said they just changed it all. Darwin changed it all. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was Johan Hari, Peter Singer, in an interview, The Independent, January 7, 2004. Singer goes on to say this, sanctity of life or quality of life? What's he saying? Well, if you've got a little weakness in you, if you've got a little problem with you, if there's a little fault in your, you know, let's say if you have autism, because of the vaccines that you were stuck with when you were a baby. If you have autism, or if you have something, you know, slightly wrong with you or something like that, I mean, your quality of life is not there, so we should just be able to kill you.
Right.
And of course, the elite Luciferian satanic devils are the ones that choose who are the fittest. He says this: we can no longer base our ethics on the idea that human beings are a special form of creation made in the image of God. I mean, could he not live Romans chapter 1 anymore? Could he not express it any more vividly than what he is right here? How did all this happen? Denying God. When you deny God, all they that hate me love death. Pretty simple, isn't it? He says, we can no longer think that we're made in the image of God, singled out from all other animals and alone possessing an immortal soul. Once the religious mumbo-jumbo surrounding the term human has been stripped away, we will not regard as sacrosanct the life of each and every member of our species, no matter how limited its capacity for intelligence or even conscious life may be. They never want to kill themselves right away, though, until they teach all their damnable doctrines and they're given over to that reprobate mind and Satan has them stick a bolt in their head before they die or jump out a window somewhere. Agnes Bloom, the leading woman in the German eugenics movement, advocated infanticide. Lily Braun also advocated the same thing. She said she advocated infanticide for less than perfect children such as those with Down syndrome. New York physicist William Robinson wrote this: the best thing would be to gently chloroform these children of the unfit or to give them a dose of potassium cyanide. You know, I've got a 3-month-old baby right there. And look at that. And I seriously, under no uncertain circumstances, if any of those devils came around, I would probably take care of them. I'm sorry. None of us checked our manhood at the door when we became Christians. The love of Christ just constrains us. But when it comes to protecting your family, you do what you have to do. So that's never going to happen, is it? It's coming. If the fetus does not have the same claim to life as a person, it appears that the newborn baby does not either. And the life of a newborn baby is of less value than the life of a pig, a dog, or a chimpanzee. Don't you understand that's why they can knowingly stick your children with poison? Do you understand that? Do you understand that's why they can easily take those vaccines and stick them in your children's arm? Do you get that's why they can do that without any thought? And they're smiling when you're at the doctor's office and they're sticking your kid with poison? Do you get that's why they can do that so easy? Yeah. They don't even think twice about doing that. Oh, well, it's never hurt me yet. Friend, you don't know how bad those vaccines have hurt you. You don't know how bad they've hurt you yet. Mm-hmm. Hey, we've already proven that the medical industry and their psychotropics and all of their pharmaceutical sorcery, that's already been proven. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Leslie Olson, director of organ procurement for the University of Miami, said that anencephalic. Have you heard that word before? That is a weird word. Anyway, an anencephalic baby named Teresa better fit the category of a benign tumor rather than human being. She was a ball of tissue. Baby Teresa's GI. Debate over organ harvesting laws, Los Angeles Times, April 16, 1992. Anencephalic babies are born with only their brain stems intact and usually are stillborn or survive only a few hours or days. She says, oh, whatever, just kill it. Nobel laureates Francis Crick and James Watson proposed that infants not be declared officially alive until 3 days after birth in order to allow the elimination of defective babies. Mm-hmm. In 1915, infanticide became national news in America. Listen to this. In America, with the killing of a newborn baby by Dr. Harry Hazelden, chief of staff at German-American Hospital in Chicago. What is up with these Germans anyway? Anyway, Hazelden ordered to the staff to deny all treatment to a baby born to Anna Bullinger. Listen to this. Catherine Walsh, who found the baby alone in a bare room, begged for the baby to be taken to its mother but was ignored. At an inquest, she testified, "It was a beautiful baby. I saw no deformities." The inquest determined that a prompt operation would have prolonged and perhaps saved the life of the child, and that there was no evidence that the child would have become mentally or morally defective. The inquest refused, though, to punish the doctor, and the local prosecutor blocked efforts to indict him for murder. Now see, that'd be one of those things that if I found that if you had my baby like that and you stuck it on a shelf somewhere and you were going to kill my baby. Yeah. Life for life, friend.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but you kill my baby and you deny my baby life and you stick it on a shelf somewhere and die. I have every God-given right to destroy you, to take your life from this earth.
Right.
It's not popular, is it? Hazelden listen to what he said. Hazelden considered his vindication a powerful victory for eugenics. He proudly revealed that he had euthanized other such newborns, taking courage from the refusal of the law to punish his murderous actions. What does the Bible say? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Within 2 weeks, he had ordered his staff to withhold treatment from several more deformed or birth-defected infants. Other times, he would handle it personally, like the time he left a newly delivered infant's umbilical cord untied and let it bleed to death. Sometimes, he took a more direct approach and simply injected newborns with opiates. In America, and of all places, Illinois. Eugenicist leader Charles Davenport praised the doctor, saying, "Short-sighted, they who would unduly restrict the operation of what is one of nature's greatest racial blessings, death." That was in an article, "Was the Doctor Right?" Independent, January 3rd, 1916. Hollywood, which from its inception has been a great change agent in creating society based on the new Darwinist morality, jumped on the culture of death bandwagon in 1917 with The Black Stork. Its unbridled cinematic propaganda was given a massive national distribution and promotion campaign. Hazelden played himself. That's that doctor that let the baby die and let it bleed to death and then killed the other one. He played himself. Well, why not? I mean, nobody could play a devil better than him. Hazelden played himself in a fictionalized account of a eugenically mismatched couple who are counseled by Hazelden against having children because they are likely to be defective. Eventually, the woman does give birth to a defective child, whom she then allows to die. The dead child levitates into the waiting arms of Jesus Christ. So the propaganda, do you see the propaganda? Do you see what they did? Well, yeah, if you just kill these babies, they'll go to heaven. So you're just helping them. Do you see what they're doing? Do you see what Hollywood did at the agent? Oh, preacher, stop preaching about Hollywood. They don't have anything to do with anything. Go back to your bubble. Go back to your four walls of your church. Right? Nothing to get excited about.
Get that light out of my face.
Yeah, exactly. Get that light out of my face. That's right. You see, if it wasn't for Charles Darwin, though, you would have no Roe versus Wade. This is one of the damnable fruits of evolution, abortion. This is killing and murder and obsession with death. And they are the father, and they are of their father, and the lust of their father they will do. And that's exactly what they do. And I know it's a rude wake-up call and some hard things to hear, but you know what? It ought to be put forefront. You know what? Those abolish abortions, abortion guys got it right, man.
Right.
Listen, What are these pro-life guys ever done? What has their movement ever done? How pro-life or you know, stop the funding of Planned Parenthood, all this stuff? What has that ever accomplished? Nothing. Abolish abortion. That's the only answer.
Republicans might as well take it off their platform.
That's right. Yeah, they funded everything. They funded it all. They funded Planned Parenthood. They funded everything. Why? Because they're Luciferians and they like babies dying.
That's right.
They get their money. All of them are. Every single one of those people. I don't care if they're, what they call themselves, Republican, Democrat. I don't care. You, when you voted for that, you voted for murder.
That's right.
You just did. So don't send me all emails about telling me how good these Republicans are and how I talk nice to them and I worship them and I bow down to them and I beg them to do things for me. Man, if we were right with God, they'd be coming to us begging us for help. That's what they did to John Leland. John, don't run against me. Mm-hmm. What happened? Well, American Christians are in bed with the devil. That's what happened. The religious right and all these political pundits and all these political people, all these groups, they're in bed with them, all of them. And they're going to burn in the bed they're laying with them in, too. That's right. They've already sold out. That's right. Abolish abortion. That's the only way. You abolish it. You destroy it. You end it. Sad times we live in, but you know what? We have to keep fighting. That's why we need to stand outside those abortion clinics. That's why we need to go to that Planned Parenthood rally that's coming up. That's why we need to be there. And every guy needs to be there that can be there. We need to come out in full force there. When is that? That's Good Friday. Yeah. Well, that's what they celebrate, Good Friday. That's why they're there. We don't celebrate it. I'm just telling you. We believe in Great Wednesday or Thursday, whichever you believe in. But anyway. Amen. Well, that's the resurrection, but the Good Friday, they say, was supposed to be the time that Christ was crucified, right? That's what they say, though. Yeah, but no, it was Wednesday or Thursday, whichever. Some people, I've heard debates on both those, Wednesday and Thursday. So, yeah, I know one thing, it wasn't Friday. So, no, it doesn't. That's right, Brother Paul. But it just matters that he rose again.
Amen.
That's all that matters, but... But we definitely don't celebrate the Catholic Day.
That's right.
And we stay away from that. But listen, this ought to encourage you to understand the battle that we're in. All right? It ought to encourage you to understand. I know it's discouraging to hear some of these things, but it ought to fire you up and understand why we go and do what we do. Why we stand outside there and why we need to stand outside of those places more. That's why we need abortion tracts. We need to make our own. We need to have things out there. And we need to, yeah, we need to, we're going to get a banner. I'm going to talk to the Abolish Abortion guys and get something. They've got some good things, so we're going to get some things. And that's why we have that picture out there.
Right.
Oh, that's a bad picture, isn't it? That's terrible.
Amen.
By the way, most of these parents that walk by and say that my children, you pull the average parents, they're letting their kids watch horror movies where their heads are being cut off, where they all watch those things. Okay? They all watch those things. So, and it's way worse than that picture. Do you know what? That picture is reality, and that's why it bothers you. Because that's true. And I want it right in front of those demonic people's faces so they can see it. So we know who you are, and we know who you represent. We know who you're with, and we're going to pray against you, and we're going to pray for your souls to be saved, for you to repent, but we're going to pray for these babies. We're going to pray that God would spare some of them, and that God would destroy the workers of iniquity. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. And Lord, we know they're heavy tidings to hear things like this, but Lord, they're necessary. It's necessary to keep us on the firing line, Lord, to understand the demonic people, that it's all satanic, and that we have to war against it in these end times. We've got to stand up, Lord, and war against it and preach the truth. And Lord, we pray that some of these people would repent and be born again, Lord. They've got blood on their hands, and you hate it, Lord. You said you destroyed nations for blood. And we got enough, Lord, on us. We know judgment is coming. I pray you continue to raise a remnant that will fight Antichrist and that spirit, Lord, and fight against this wickedness that's out there, Lord. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.